All right. Hey, Mercy Hill, what's up? Excited that you guys are here today. Listen, if you're a first-time guest with us, I know Pastor Brian just kind of talked about this, about how we've just had a real influx this summer. We're excited that you're here. We would love to get a chance to meet you at all of our campuses. There is a first-time guest tent outside. It's the first time we've seen the sun in about a week, okay? So the tent is going to be outside. We'd love for you to stop by there. Man, it is really good for us to hear how you found out about Mercy Hill. Maybe you can we're trying to get better at everything that we do. So for you to kind of give us a little bit of feedback on how your first experience was, that really helps out. We also have a gift for you guys with this seasonally appropriate tumbler. Okay, so I hope you take advantage of that. All right, let's dive in. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And man, we're going to be diving into a pretty big text of scripture today as we start to get into and talk about the spiritual gifts. There are superpowers in the Christian life that you are given when you become a believer, all right? That's the way that we need to think about it. You become a believer, the Spirit of God, infuses in your DNA a superpower, okay? It is a gift. It is not a talent. It is not an ability that you would have outside of becoming a Christian. He has given you giftings. We live in sort of the Marvel DC universe world. Every movie, I've never seen any of them. I think Ant-Man from the commercials is probably the coolest, but I've never seen any of them. It's sort of that way. It's like, man, what would your superpower be? Well, you have one as a believer. And I want to talk to you about how you kind of walk in that and live out of that. And maybe for some of us, try to figure out what that is, all right? We want to walk a middle way, a third road, okay? And that's this. 2,000 years ago, there was a dysfunctional church in Corinth. That's what we've been talking about. Now, we all have a little bit of dysfunction in us, okay? So we're going to be kind of in the same boat as them. But what they were dealing with was this. When it came to spiritual giftings, they were either undervaluing the gifts or they were overvaluing the gifts, okay? The people that undervalue the gifts were sort of saying this. They're saying, well, little old me, you know, what can I give? What can I bring to the health of the body, you know, for the gifting? And what they were doing, they were saying, well, I'm not really going to dive into or live out of or try to figure out and walk in my spiritual giftings. What is little old me going to be able to do? What I'm going to do is just sort of sit back, kind of do nothing, and sort of bask in the glory of the people who have the awesome gifts, okay? I mean, these guys are prophesying and healing people, and we're just going to, I'm going to sit back and do nothing while they do the big gifts. I'll receive the blessing from their gifting. Well, on the other side, you have people who were the ones who had maybe these giftings that were a little more outward, that were ones that people took notice of, and they overvalued their gifts. They forgot that the gifts were from God, not God, okay? They sort of started worshiping the gifts, and what they were doing is they would look in at the people who weren't exercising their gifts, and they'd say, oh, little old you, you're just going to kind of sit there and do nothing? Yeah, just kind of do that. Watch me roll up my sleeves here and get to work with my spiritual giftings. It was off of either side. It was wrong on the undervaluing. It was wrong on the overvaluing. And so Paul comes in 1 Corinthians 12, and he gives them a third way. That is the classic thing that we need to be thinking about for Christianity. When people are trying to line up on one side and line up on the other, usually there's a third way. And that's what Paul gives them. And he gives it to them with the analogy of the body. What he says is, hey, when a body functions for one purpose, there are parts of the body that you see, there are parts of the body that you don't see, but you certainly need all the parts of the body. And you want all the parts of the body in order that you can fulfill the purpose of the body. And so he is going to say that today to us. There is a diversity of gifts, but all of them are needed. And if you are a believer, you are gifted, but you are gifted for for his glory as we build up the church, and the health in the church kind of spills over into the healing of the community. So listen, if you're taking notes, this is the idea, okay? Just trying to sum all that up. Gifts are given to be given. They are not given to be stored. They are not given to be hoarded, okay? The gifts are given for you to use, to leverage, to exercise, to practice on behalf of others in the church, that we might build up the church. And when the church is super healthy, that health spills over into the community around us. Man, and God is glorified in all of that. Listen, if you're newer today, maybe this is one of your first times, or maybe you've been kind of hooked a little bit by this dysfunctional church series. If that's where you are, okay, and maybe you came in, I don't know that maybe it is this exact topic that made you cynical to the church. Maybe you saw somebody on TV, a pastor that was preaching loud and dancing on stage and takes his coat off and begins to whip it around the crowd and people are falling over and all this kind of stuff. And you look at that and you roll your eyes. I sort of do too, honestly. Maybe it sort of made you cynical to the church. What I want you to see is don't go to the other extreme as if the gifts aren't real. The gifts are real. They're just not crazy, okay? They're good. They're real. God is orderly. God has ordered everything in the world, and the spiritual giftings for the believers are ordered as well. He wants us to operate out of an ordered fashion for the building up of the church. I hope you're going to see that they are real. They're not crazy, and if you're a believer, you have one, all right? The other thing that I would say is this. Some of us that are believers, and especially if you've been a believer for a long time, you know what my prayer is for you? Because it's the same prayer for me. As I begin to read this and I'm getting into this stuff, man, many of us mentally, we believe in the gifts because they're in the Bible. We know that's got to be right, but we live our lives as if we don't really believe they're a real thing. And that is so wrong. It is so backwards, okay? For us to say on one hand, I believe they're real, but on the other hand, to say they have absolutely no effect on my life, come on, that's not where we should be. And I've been woken up to this week. It's very fresh for me. It's fresh for our staff, and I hope it'll be fresh for you as well, all right? We're going to dive into 1 Corinthians 12. Here's what I want to do. This is a big chapter. It is very long. It is complex. You're talking about the spiritual giftings. People have been arguing about this and talking about this. All different denominations kind of line up on different sides of this stuff. So I'm going to try to tackle it in one sermon. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to read four verses that I think are sort of the heartbeat of 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start there, and then we're going to ask four questions of the text. What are the gifts? Whose are the gifts? Why are we giving gifts? And will we exercise our gifts? And to support those four questions, I'll pull in some other verses from the rest of the chapter, okay? So these four verses are sort of the heartbeat, and then we'll ask these questions, and I think we'll get to some answers today. And man, I hope we're going to be a healthier church moving forward after today, all right? Let's dive in. Verse 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are a varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in every one. These four verses are sort of the summary, Reader's Digest, but one verse is the thesis, okay? This is the thesis verse for all of chapter 12. If you just had one verse, this is it, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That is what a spiritual gift is, okay? Each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, and for what purpose? For the common good. What, who, why, and will, all right? Number one, what are the spiritual gifts? Well, in short, the spiritual gifts are given to us right here in 1 Corinthians 12. Not the only place they're given, okay? We see other lists of spiritual gifts in Romans 12. We see them in Ephesians 4. We see them in 1 Peter chapter 4. But 1 Corinthians 12, as they say, is sort of the big show, okay? It's where they're, I mean, this is where they're all, many of them are lined up. There's a few gifts that we might talk about that are outside of this, but man, most of them are right here. All right, so what is a gift of the Spirit as we dive into this? Here's the definition that I'm working off of. Giftings are manifestations of the Spirit, okay? That means that they're not talents. It's not an ability that you would have if you were not a believer. Okay, if you're not a believer, you think, well, I'm still pretty good at this or whatever. That it's not a spiritual gift. This is something that you are given as you are have become a believer. It can line up with your talents, all right? You might have been an administrative person, for example. You become a believer. God gifts you with administration. That's fine. I'm not saying it couldn't line up with your talents, but it's not just something you would have had anyway. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. But why, and we're going to get into this in a few minutes, it is for the common good of the church. It is not to be stored or hoarded. God gave you a gift that you might make the body healthier. Well, what are the gifts? Let's run through them. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Another word for that is discernment. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Let's skip down to verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and finally, various kinds of tongues. I didn't see Ant-Man in there, but whatever, okay? So, all right, here's what I want to do. This is the gifts from 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just tick through them. Let me just kind of talk about them, all right? Let's just walk through them, and let's kind of make sure we understand what they are. We might as well go ahead and dive all the way in with tongues, okay? What could be more controversial? Let's just go ahead and dive in. Actually, I'm going to punt on tongues. I'm going to punt on tongues for a couple weeks. Here's why. Not dodging it. We have a sermon coming up here in the series that is almost exclusively about tongues. It's a sermon that is going to be fully about that. So I'm not going to kind of do the appetizer version now. I want you to come back for that. We're going to do that here in about 2 weeks. So I'll be getting ready for that. And by getting ready, I mean trying to find somebody else to preach. Okay, so no, I'm just kidding. All right, let's dive into a few of these, okay? Now, listen, I'm not ordering these by importance, although I think that Paul sort of actually does that in verse 28. I'm not doing that. This is just the way I think about the gifts, okay? So I want to run through these. You're getting into my mind a little bit. Some of them are grouped a little bit different ways, and people have grouped them into different things. Let me just sort of talk about them if I can have the freedom to do that. Four gifts right off the bat: utterance of knowledge, utterance of wisdom, prophecy, and teaching. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. These are not all the same gift, but they are sort of grouped together as prophetic giftings, okay? They're not all the same, all right, but they are kind of grouped together because in prophetic giftings, when you're talking about a supernatural word from God in knowledge or in wisdom or in being able to teach or in prophecy, that is prophetic. What is prophetic? When people think prophetic, you think being able to see the future. That's not what prophetic means. It can mean that. That's not what it means. What it means is that you speak for God, okay? It means that you make the word of God very, very clear. That's what a prophetic gifting is. Now, in our day, what does that look like primarily? I think there are a couple categories, two categories that we need to think about with this. One is rock solid, yes. The other is we're going to see, okay? And let me talk about that. The first one is the rock solid, yes. The Bible we have taken as the word of God, supernaturally given to us in its fullness, okay, this is what we have as the word of God. When somebody in your community group or somebody even at maybe a work Bible study or somebody, as a pastor, they open the word of God and they begin to teach from the word, if God has given them supernaturally the ability to make that word of God clear and make it stick and the Spirit uses what they're saying in your life, they probably have a prophetic gifting. They're opening the word, they're making it clear, and that is the category in which we just sort of say it's a yes. Like, man, you've made it clear. I understand the Bible is God's word. You're making it clear. Yes, I accept that. This is the word of God, okay? So, people, man, prophet, are you a prophet or whatever? Well, if I just opened the Bible and read to you the book of Revelation, and then I just said, hey, guys, Jesus is coming back, boom, prophet, okay? You heard it here. Write it down, okay? It's like, what do you mean? I'm reading it from, this is the word. I'm reading it to you. I'm exposing the word of God. Now, anybody can do that, but some people are gifted in that. Prophetic giftings, words of knowledge, all of that. Now, I told you there's another category, though. The other category would be sort of that, man, I'm going to wait and see. If you come up to me and you said, I had a vision, I had a dream, if you came to me and you said, man, I've got a word of knowledge, I would say to you, I'm not throwing water on that. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm not going to put it in the Bible category. Because you're a human, you're totally fallible. We are called to test the spirits. You could be given something that is supernatural that is not from God. And I know that from firsthand experience, all right? There are supernatural things that may not come from God. I'm not gonna trust you. I'm not gonna trust me like I would trust the Bible. There are two different categories, okay? But I'm also not gonna put God in a box as if there is something that he can't do. Think about that. If we say, well, prophecy and words of wisdom and utterance are this and only this, I think that this is the category of yes, but the fact is that God can do whatever he wants to do, all right? And so I'm not going to put him in a box and say, well, it can't ever be anything else. We were about 3 or 4 months in to the church plant at Mercy Hill when we started this whole thing less than 6 years ago. And I remember, listen, if you've ever started anything, a church, a business, or whatever, I know this from firsthand experience. When it's a baby, when it's small, it feels, it's in God's hands, it's his church. Man, it feels like it's in your hands. It feels like you're trying real hard not to break it, and mess it up. And everything's a big deal and it's emotional. And man, I was 28, 29 years old. It was a hard thing. December rolls around after we launched a church in September. I mean, we're talking about 3 or 4 months. And I wake up middle of the night, supernatural dream. There was a family in our church that had come, launch team, and I had a dream that they were going to leave the church. They were going to take people with them. And I didn't know what to do with that. I mean, I got with our elders. I said, man, I don't know what to do with this. I'm telling you, I feel like this is a supernatural dream. I've only had two in my life. This was one of two. And I feel like it was supernatural, and I don't really know what to do with this. Well, we decided as an elder team, you know what we're going to do? We don't know. It's not in the Bible camp. This is in the we're going to wait and see camp. We're going to keep these things hidden in our heart camp. We're going to put it in our mind and sort of see what happens camp, because, you know, that's what we do when it's not strictly Bible. That was the first week maybe of December. By the middle of January, they left, kind of out of nowhere. They took a family with them, and a couple minutes later, they took another guy with them, and it crushed me. Now, I don't know why God, I don't know why I needed to see that. I don't know why I needed to see that. I don't know if it was so that I wouldn't be crushed, so that I could maybe kind of be fortified against it, because I had a lot of emotions going on at that time. We first moved here, we're getting this thing off the ground. I don't know, but here's what I know. There are many people that put God in such a box that they would say, that kind of thing can never happen. And to them, I would agree with another pastor who said it like this: y'all, I have seen things that I cannot unsee. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you have seen things that way. When we see that, though, and I'm talking about even miracles, healings, all that, you know, we put them in this camp of, God, you're not in a box. God, you could still work. I believe that, but it's not Bible. But I know that you could still work in this world, if that makes sense. Another thing that is like that is this. Think about the gifts of healing and the gifts of miracles. Those are another couple of gifts that are put in here. Gifts of healing and miracles. Now, one thing to understand about gifts of miracles and gifts of healing, they're the only two gifts that are given in the plural. Think about it. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. Why does the Bible do that? Because if you are given the gifts of healing, it is not like you have just been given this superpower, like I said, where you can walk around and just start going, you're healed, you're healed. Well, I don't really like you, so I'm going to heal you and you. And it doesn't work like that. Gifts of healing mean if you are given gifts of healing, God has created a bank account in your life that sits with the name on it of healing, but it sits empty. You don't get a draw on something that's empty until God comes in, and in the moment, in his timing, for his glory that he decides to, he funds that account for you to be able to write a check out of it through prayer and through asking him. You see what I'm saying? Some of you might be newer here. You may not know this, but I think, like I told you guys, man, I'm just giving you stuff from my life. You would have many from your life. I've seen things that I cannot unsee. 18 months ago, a little girl, 4 pounds, came into our life through adoption. You guys know this, Faith Ann. And man, she's got these health issues, Down syndrome, hole in her heart. They told us by 6 months she would have to have an open heart surgery because they couldn't do it until she weighed over 5 pounds and all this kind of stuff. And man, just gut wrenching. We prayed for her. Many of you have labored in praying for her. I mean, day after day after day. And what happens? Man, they start kicking the can down the field. We go to the doctor and they say, well, I don't know. This is in the membrane. It's not in the muscle. It's not really supposed to heal, but we're gonna keep watching this. And man, it looks a little better. Yo, we went this last week. They don't want to see Faith Ann again for 2 years, okay? Man, God is doing something in her life. And I think about this little precious child. And listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what it'll be 5 years from now. I don't know. I know it's already a miracle. She was supposed to have open heart surgery at 6 months old. You know what's going on? Somebody probably in this church that has been given a gift of healing for this little girl, that gift, that bank account has got Faith Ann's name on it. Somebody's got an account that's open that is willing to go to God in prayer, and he is funding that account so that they can write the check for her healing, if you understand. Somebody is praying for her. That's what gifts of healing and gifts of miracles are. The scripture also mentions faith, which is something that we are all called to. Gotta have faith to become a Christian, we know that, okay? But some people have a gifting of faith. Now, what does this mean? Some of the gifts, like there's another gift. Generosity is a gift. Mercy is a gift, okay? These are different, these are not in this text. These are gifts that we are all called to, but some people have them in great measure. The Spirit has lavished generosity in your life. He has lavished mercy in your life. We're all called to them. Faith is one thing that we're all called to, but there are some of you that when I stand on this stage, you guys know Mercy Hill College Live is about to kick off here in a couple weeks, and we have this grand vision for all of these groups and students. When I stand on this stage and I say, Mercy Hill, across 3 campuses, can't you wait for the day when we see 1,000 college students worshiping at Mercy Hill across 3 campuses? There are some of you that listen to that and you say, man, I believe God for that. I believe you. You put it up before God. You go to your prayer closet and you say, God, you're the type of God who would want to do this, and I believe that you can do it. And you labor in prayer, exercising your faith. You see what he's going? He has given you a gift of faith that you can then put up before him that he will honor by moving on behalf of us all. This is what the giftings are for. I've been thinking about this week. Guys, I don't know if I'm gifted with faith. I mean, I know we have faith, you know, and we've got to strive for faith. I don't know that that's one of my spiritual gifts. I need people around me that when we have crazy big dreams, say, man, I believe God for that. Like he created the world. He spoke this world into existence. He moved, he moved the stone away, and Jesus is alive, and he can bring 1,000 college students to Mercy Hill. We need you, if you have that gift of faith, to be going on behalf of us all. Another gift is the ability to discern the spiritual realm. I think what that means is, man, you see somebody, you know if they're a sheep or a wolf. Okay, you understand if they're just in sheep's clothing. You understand that you have a better sense on the spiritual realm. We are called to test the spirits. Is this of God or is this of something else? Apostolic gifting is mentioned. It's tough. Does that mean just the apostles? Or does that mean that we have people now that have an apostolic gifting? I think an apostolic gifting now, we could disagree on this. I think an apostolic gifting now means people who are willing to break into new ground. We had, this weekend, some of our church planters from South Asia were here, and man, where they work, and when our teams get on a plane and go, and you go over there for 2 weeks and work with their team, you will share the gospel where it has never been named. You will go and you'll share the gospel. People who have never heard it before, people who do that type of work. I don't know if maybe that's an apostolic gifting, but we could talk more about that at another time. Another one, lastly, I'll say this. Another one that we mentioned here was helping and administration. You know what that means? It means that being good at Excel is a spiritual gift. Okay, that's what it sort of means. No, it means that God can make you really, really good at helping and organization and administration. And that's something that we really value here at Mercy Hill. Man, I love the systems and I love allowing people who God has gifted in that way of being able to make the system run really well, allow them to run and do it really well. I know some people I've heard before, you know, in different church contexts where people will say things like, well, you know, the church is too corporate or the church is too business-like. I'd be like, no, businesses are too church-like. The church is supposed to be super organized. The church is supposed to be administered really well, for he has given us the spiritual gifting of administration, okay? So we should be really, really good. We should outdo the world in terms of our systems and our abilities there. I saw an example of this week. I took my kids to a camp this week. And, you know, if you ever check your kids into Mercy Hill, you're gonna get this, okay? And man, some of you don't have kids, single, whatever. But if you have kids, you're going to kind of get this. Or if you've worked in our kids ministry. I walk up, and I'm used to kind of the Mercy Hill way. And I walk up, and I'm like, man, there's no security team here, you know? There's no, where's the police officer standing here, you know? There's nothing like that. And I walk up, and there's this kid who's 15 years old taking names on a little piece of paper. and I'm like, hey, man, you know, I've got my kids here, and they're here, and my name's Andrew, but I'm not the one that's going to pick them up. He didn't even look at me. He goes, nah, it doesn't matter. I mean, I left my kids there anyway, but I'm like, man, you know, if you've ever been around Mercy Hill stuff, like that doesn't fly. Why? Because there are people that are gifted with administration and God has called upon us. Man, let them make the system better. Let them make the organization of it better. And that works out in so many realms within our church. All right, that's a brief survey. We were asking the question, what are the gifts? Now, there are other gifts. You can look in different places, like I said, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. You can look at those later, but this is the big show here. These are the gifts that are mentioned. Number two, whose are the gifts? Very simple. I mean, I should just say this and move on, okay? Whose are the gifts? All believers are gifted. We are gifted. That's what the plain teaching here is. You can have more than one gift, but you have at least one gift if you are a Christian. All right, and your gift matrix is complex, it's unique to you. There are things that God has gifted you in that may manifest itself later in your Christian life, but that doesn't mean that you were not gifted in that way. Your gifting is unique to you, much like your fingerprint is, okay? It's yours, it is unique, and has been given to us for the building up of the body. All of us are given a gift that we might participate in this thing called church. Look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I don't know how else to get around this. To each is given. All these are empowered, verse 11, by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. He apportions them to us as he wills. You could have more. You could have a greater measure. We are all gifted. Just as one body is and one has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Everybody's not a hand. Everybody's not an eye. Some people aren't that visible, but then again, think about a body. What's more important than a heart, though you can't see it? You see what I mean? Everybody has a function in the body of Christ, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. That is very important. This thing with gifts is set up that we would understand there is no class distinction. We were all made to drink of the one Spirit. There are no classes within the Christian faith. And anybody who sets up a distinction based on actual class, when you start thinking about wealth, or you think about distinctions in race, or you think about distinction in ethnicities, man, from New Testament standards, it is absolutely wrong. It is absolutely sinful. One Spirit, one body means one Spirit, one body, that we were all baptized into, period, okay? Now, we're still reaping and still living in a time and where many churches, and of course, as generations have gone by, where the church in many ways, many churches have failed in terms of not addressing distinctions that the church has followed the world in rather than creating that beacon of light that we should be when it comes to these areas, and certainly the scars are still with us. Man, let it never be said, let it not be said of our generation right now that we would allow these distinctions to divide us when the Scripture has clearly called us one body and one Spirit, all right? So here's what I want you to hear. One body, one Spirit. There is not two classes. And what I mean is this. What we believe at Mercy Hill, because I think this is exactly what 1 Corinthians 12 is saying, is that there's not another time in your life when you get giftings. If you become a believer, you are gifted. Because what we would have is we'd have two different classes. We'd say, well, you guys are the spiritually gifted believers, and you're just kind of the regular believers, and that is not in line with one body, one Spirit. We are given the gifts together. That doesn't mean that they don't need to be developed. It doesn't mean that different manifestations of giftings can't come out later in your life. That certainly can happen. But there shouldn't be this question of, am I gifted or not? Christians don't ask, am I gifted? Christians ask, how am I gifted, okay? And that's what we need to think about here. I don't want to put too fine a point on this before we move on, but you know what? If we're realizing together today, wait a minute, to each one, verse 7, he apportions as he wills, verse 11. If this is true, then we got to ask ourselves a question. Do you know what your giftings are? And if not, then how are you operating out of them for the good of the body, which is what we're called to do? And if you're not operating out of them for the good of the body because you don't know them, this is the point. Then will you take me up on this? I'm telling you, I'm going to give you by the end of the sermon the way forward to find out your giftings and to start operating out of them. Wouldn't you want to take me up on that? Wouldn't you want to dive into that? Okay, because this is what God has created the church to do. Health in the church through the gifts that spill out into the world around us, and that gets us into number 3. Well, I've already said it. Why are there gifts, okay? It's for the health of the church to spill out into the healing of the community and for God to be glorified in it all. That is the point, all right? Gifts are not given for us to hoard, to store. It's not about you, okay? That's a hard thing for us to get in our mind. I know that. Hard thing for me to get. We spend most of our time thinking about ourselves, what's good for us. The gifts are not for us. There was a book that came out years ago called A Purpose-Driven Life, sold 60 million copies. I remember a pastor that I was under at the time, he said he opened the book, read the first sentence. The first sentence says, it's not about you. Close the book, put it down for months. It's like that was enough to kind of rock him a little bit. Like, man, you know, we live our lives as if it's about us. All right, let's go back to the Corinthian kind of trap. That's what they were living in. It's all about me. Oh, little old me, what kind of giftings do I have? I'm not going to labor. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to try to get in with people and get messy and figure out what my giftings are so I can help the body. What I'm going to do is sit back in a real kind of submissive looking, sort of humble looking, though it's not, way. And what I'm going to say is, well, I'll just kind of let you. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm just going to receive the benefit of your gift. There's some gifted people, and I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to receive the benefit of theirs. That's the undervalue. But overvalue people, sort of on the other side, they kind of end up doing the same thing. What do? They're over here and they're saying, yeah, you're just going to sit back and like accept my gift. And yeah, that's probably right for you. Why don't you just kind of sit there and I'll kind of roll my sleeves up and I'll be really awesome and I'll receive the glory. See, these people are saying, I want to receive the benefit of your gift. And these people over here are saying, I want to receive the glory for being the really gifted ones. Like, yeah, y'all just sit back and let us kind of do all the work. And you have these two sides. What do they have in common? They're all about them. It's about me. It's about what I need. What the scripture is telling us is no. To each one, we are apportioned a gift. To each one, we are given a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit. For what? This is the question. Why, right? Why? For the building up of the body, for each other. I am gifted for you. You are gifted for someone else. You are gifted for me. We are one body as we grow up in health. That health spills over into the healing of the community. But we are gifted to help each other, to bring each other along. John Piper, I thought, said it like this very well. Manifesting the Spirit of God, which is a gift, right? That's what gifting is. And helping people aren't two things. They are one thing. This is what the spiritual gifts are, okay? We are given the gifts. And in the diversity of these gifts, we help each other through the diversity and therefore are able to accomplish the mission of health here, spilling into a healing into the community, God reaping the glory for it all. Therefore, we shouldn't squabble over whose gifts has what and you have a better gift or sit back and not really engage. No, we should celebrate the diversity of gifts that are in the church because they all matter. They all function. I'll explain it to you like this. You know, when I was in high school, I played on a pretty good football team, but we were never great. And there was a reason we were never great, all right? All of our backs means a receiver, a running back, a quarterback. If you touch the ball, if you run with the ball, if you throw the ball, that's a back, okay? So all the receivers, the backs, all of us went and played in college somewhere, every single one of us. If you caught a pass or started, you went and played in college. We had Southern Miss, Brown University, FAMU University. We had Florida State, okay? And then most prestigious among them, North Greenville College, all right? So, our fight song, Little Christian School of the Mountains, was Victory in Jesus. I'm not kidding. But the point was, all of our backs went and played somewhere else. I mean, it was pretty good, right? Our line, here's the problem. None of them went and played anywhere else. And it wasn't because they weren't good. Actually, many of them were better than some of us. They were just undersized. We were playing 4A football in the state of Florida, okay? I mean, you know, big-time football state. And two of our starting linemen weigh probably 170, 160, 170 pounds. Tough as nails, just small. We can be a good team, can't be a great team. See, a coach looking in would say, no, I don't care what everybody wants to be. What we need if we're going to be great is a diversity of gifts. That is the way that the body is going to move forward. It's the way that the team is going to win. And that's what the scripture is telling us here. If we get the why, if we understand, oh, wait a minute, it's for the building of the body so it's healthy, spills into the healing of the community, God is glorified, then we're not going to squabble over who got what gifts. What we're going to do is say, I want to celebrate the gifts and thank God and rejoice over my giftings. Let us operate out of the giftings altogether that we might be a healthy unit who goes forward into the community. We bring our health to places that really, really need it, and God is glorified. Church, this is what it means to be spiritual in 1 Corinthians 12. Many of us think spiritual. We think, oh, 15-song worship set. You know, we think 5-hour-long prayer meetings, nothing wrong with that, just not the definition of spiritual by 1 Corinthians 12 standards. 1 Corinthians 12 spiritual is that everybody is manifesting their gift for the health of the body. That's a spiritual church. And you might say, well, what does that look like? I'm going to tell you, I'll give you some examples of what it looks like. It means, for example, that you're in a community group with somebody who leads that group that has an incredibly prophetic gifting. All right, they're really good at opening the Bible, at showing you what the Bible means. They're awesome at that. Everybody benefits from that. The problem is they can never send out the emails on time. And everybody's email's wrong and they don't know it. You know, they can't get on the Fellowship One portal or whatever. What you do is, in your group, you think to yourself, man, I'm gifted in administration. Like, I love this stuff. My spiritual gift is literally just sitting there and typing numbers into an Excel sheet. If that's who you are, okay, and you're really good at that, then you might be able to go to the group, health of the body, right? Do you want the body to get healthier? How much healthier is your small group when you go to your small group leader and you say, hey, you're really, really good. You're really prophetically gifted. Why don't you just teach the Bible to us because we're all doing so well with that, but let me take the administrative part of it off of you and let me exercise my gift in that way. Don't you see how the body gets healthier by us all exercising our gift rather than undervaluing or overvaluing? I'll give you another example. We got couples in our church informally marriage mentor people, okay? Maybe you got a younger couple in your community group or somebody's approached you, you've been married for a while and you're doing well. And you know the best marriage mentor couples are ones where at least one of the people in that couple has the gift of mercy. I know we didn't talk about the gift of mercy. It's in another place in the Bible, but the gift of mercy. Do you know why? Because if you're a marriage mentoring couple and all you have is, let's say one of you has a real prophetic type gifting, like, man, I can tell them what they need to know about marriage. But the other person in the marriage has a mercy gifting, but doesn't exercise it. That comes off as just totally didactic, browbeating. It can come off as wagging your finger at a younger couple when they do something. Things that are dumb, okay? Because all of us do and did, especially when the marriage was first getting going. But you have somebody in that marriage that has a gift of mercy and they're able to say, man, I remember what that was like. I can empathize with that. We're going to give you the truth, but we're also going to feel what you're feeling with you. We're going to be merciful to you in this time. Don't you see how us exercising our gifts makes the body healthier and that health spills into the community? This is what God is after. The healing we want to see in here, okay? The healing we want to see out there, it starts in here. What we want to see in the community, it starts right here in the church. When we begin to exercise our gifts in incredible ways, when we say, hey, I'm going to all dive in, that is when the health spills over. You guys saw at the very beginning of this sermon series, you remember this? Very beginning of the sermon series, we had a video that played, and it was a video of a guy who, man, he's not a believer, okay? He doesn't believe. He was saying, hey, some of our people know him. He runs like an acting program here, and that's a little confusing because he is an actor, but he wasn't acting, okay? He's an actor, but we got to talking to him, and he's like, man, I'll tell you exactly what I think. I went to church as a kid. I didn't see it translating into the community. What did he say in that video? Do you remember this? Rock my world. What did he say? If I saw the hands and feet of Jesus locally, then maybe I would believe. That's what he said. Maybe I would go back to church. Maybe I would attend. Now, man, at Mercy Hill, we've got all these things going on. I believe the health is spilling into the community. Honestly, it's kind of hard not to notice it with everything that's going on. But man, the healthier we are here, the more that it spills out there. The practicing of the gifts here is what gives us the ability to bring healing there. You know, we've seen 150 students go through our summer projects so far, our college students, city projects, Second City, all that kind of stuff. Man, it's just incredible, equipping them to go be business leaders, politics, equipping them to be family people, equipping them to go to the nations. I mean, whatever it is, all summer we get a chance to pour into them as they lay down their summer for the sake of the gospel and the mission. Do you know how many spiritual giftings it takes to pull that off over 5 years, 150 students? Host homes, people that have the gift of helping, people that are merciful to them, college students living in your home all summer, people that have administrative giftings, the generosity it takes of the church to be able to fund some of the things that they do and offset some of their costs because they go on a couple different mission trips and all of that. It takes so much spiritual giftings in the house for it to spill into the community outside of the house. I'll give you another example. This is tough, man. You guys saw this in the news in May. There's a concentration of Congolese refugees that have a certain apartment kind of complex where they're settled in Greensboro. And late one night, a fire caught in the apartment building, and five kids from one family passed away. You saw this in the news. This has been a few months ago. As God would have it, for the first time, we had never done this. For the first time, we have been set up for our groups to go there for serve week the next week. And so this happens. We're already set up to go there. And we get to go, listen, we get to minister to these kids. We get to pray for them. We get to sing with them. We get to hang out with their parents and pray over them. I mean, people that are coming in from these other nations and all of that. I think about the healing that is brought to the community as we come and we share the gospel with them. And I think to myself, do you know what kind of spiritual giftings it takes in the house to pour outside of the house? I mean, every one of our Serve Week groups are a group. It takes prophetic giftings. It takes teaching. It takes helping. It takes administration. It takes generosity to fund the things that we do outside in the community. It's help here that spills out there, and that's what God is after. That is the why, okay, for why the spiritual gifts. Now, let's get down to business. Here we go as we kind of start moving towards closing here. All right, the question is for all of us today, will we exercise our gifts? We've seen what they are. We've seen whose they are. If you're a believer, they're yours. We've seen why, for His glory, health in the community, health in the church. All right, but now the question is, as we get down to business, will we exercise our giftings or not? And the way that I want to start this last section here is by asking you something, all right? Will we exercise our gifts? We will, so long as we realize how precious they are, and we will only realize how precious they are when we begin to get in our mind what it cost Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to purchase our entryway back into the family of God and thereby giving us our giftings in the first place. I want you to think about this. Jesus died that we might be gifted. And if he died, that we would be back in the family, that we would be under God's Spirit, the Spirit would be inside of us. If he has died for that, it is incredibly precious. Look what it says in verse 13. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. Do you know what it cost Jesus Christ that we would be baptized into the one body? It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. Jesus paid for our giftings, in other words, with his blood. And if that is true, if Jesus has come to this earth, if he's lived the life that we didn't live for us, and then took the death that we deserve for all the sin in our life for us. And he has done these things to purchase us a pathway back into God's presence that we might live with him now and in eternity. Then wouldn't we say, God, we value our gifting simply because of what it cost you? I mean, it costs your blood. It's precious. How can I just leave this to lay dormant in my life and not even consider what they are? Not even consider, God, how have you gifted me? I want to grow in these things. I think about, you know, Every guy, if you're married, every guy in here has got his own story about how he bought the engagement ring, okay? And if you're, you know, some of y'all got it off easy. You ended up being a little later in life in a career and all that stuff. Some of us that were like in college, that were trying to get engaged, we're doing everything we can do besides stealing, you know, to get the engagement ring. And so I remember for me, all these odd jobs, moving money around, different things. One of the jobs I had all summer, I worked at Whitey's Auto Auction in Greer, South Carolina, okay? I'm gonna tell you, somebody needs to make a documentary, y'all, all right? And it was just, man, it's this, you know, it was a chaotic scene. It's a public auto auction, the lowest end cars you've ever seen. You got these guys coming there like, hey, if you can just get it through the auction block, I'll give you an extra 20. If you can just get it through, you know, all this stuff. We had to drive the cars through the auction. It was crazy. Now here's the deal, all that stuff, buy Anna's ring. This is what I wanna ask you. What if I bought that ring and gave it to Anna, she said yes. What if the next time I saw her, she didn't have the engagement ring on? What if the next time I saw her, what if like for weeks, I'm like, Anna, where's your engagement ring? And she's like, oh, I left it at the dorm room or left it at the house or whatever. You know, I would try to be cool, but eventually I know what happened. I would snap and I'd be like, babe, do you have any idea how many secondhand cigarettes I choked down at Whitey's, okay, in order to buy you that ring? Do you have any, you know, it's like you're not valuing the little bit of sacrifice that I put in by not. And here we are, many of us. Jesus, I know full well that you died on a cross, shed your blood, that I would be bought into the family of God again, and thereby gifted me, yet I won't wear the ring. I won't allow that gifting to be exercised in my life. At some point, it has to speak to the value that we place on his blood, not just our gifting, you see? And so if we're there and we think to ourselves, okay, I sort of got it. I think I understand kind of where we're going. I'm hoping that where you're at right now is you think to yourself, man, I want to use my gifts. Like, I want to know what they are. I want to use them. If you already know what they are and you are using them, like hundreds of you across three campuses are at Mercy Hill, maybe you're at that place where you're like, man, God has gifted me. I want to keep using them. I want to use what he has given me. If that's where you are, then you're in the right place, okay? Because what I'm going to do now is I want to give you a pathway to figure out your gifting, a pathway to kind of re-up in your gifting, and it's this card. I want you guys to get this out with me real quick, all right? We're about to finish up, but get this out with me. Some of you guys, you walked in, you have this. We are going to do a spiritual exercise together across all three campuses today, and the spiritual exercise is I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond in terms of the pathway that God has set up where you can respond to him and get in the game and say, I want to know my giftings. I want to operate out of my giftings. We're going to be able to put our yes. See that? See how we did this? Real clever. Yes. And we're going to put it on a table. So we're literally going to put our yes on a table. Okay. For the sake of this kingdom, you got this out now. Let me go through it. Some of you are thinking to yourself, I don't really know what my giftings are. I'm gonna give you the ironclad, this is how you figure out your gifting. You ready? You get off the sideline and into the game. That is how you figure it out. All right, here's what many people do. They wanna try to figure their gifting out way before they ever start serving. Did you ever do that with a job, with a career, with anything like that? No, you jump in and as you're going, you sort of figure out where you're at. You figure out what you're good at. You figure out what your giftings are in. All right, I'm gonna tell you something right now. And some of you, this won't make any sense. For some of you with a church background, I hope this don't sting too bad, but it is the God's honest truth. You do not find your gifts through a survey. You find them through serving. You don't find them through a piece of paper. You find them by people that are around you, affirming things in you by having communication with leaders in the church. You're on a team on the weekend. You may be thinking about, I'm not sure if this is my gifting or not. What do you think? You have a team leader. That team leader is connected to pastors. There are people who want nothing more than for you to find your gifting. I promise you this. We want you to find your gifting as bad as you want to find your gifting because we are all healthier and the church grows when we operate in our gifting, and that's why we're here, okay? We want you to find your gifting. You do not find your gifting through a survey. You find it by getting off the sideline and into the game. I know what some of you are thinking. This is what some people think, okay? This is what you're thinking. You're like, well, you know, I wanna get in the game. I wanna start serving some kind of way, groups, hosting a group on the weekend, serve team, whatever. But you're thinking like, man, I wanna know what my gift is, but I don't really think I wanna be a greeter. I'm gonna turn tables on you. We may not want you to be a greeter. How do you like that? This ain't Walmart, people, okay? All right, if you're gonna greet, and be part of this team, it's probably because you have some gifting and acumen in that. It's probably because you have mercy or you have maybe some of our people, honestly, that are on our serve teams, I think they're gifted in evangelism. I think they care so much about what it means for a lost person to have an orderly environment when they come in that they're like, man, I'll be here an hour early or whatever I gotta do to make sure our environment is really set up for lost people that come in. That's how many of you guys are gifted. I don't know if that's your gifting, but get on a team and a couple months down the road, talk to your team leader and let's talk to the elders and let's talk to the pastors. We want you to find your gifting, but we can't help you find your gifting if you're not in the game. It's like a kid who goes out for football practice and never played football before. He walks out there, they put him in a line and say, well, hey, why don't we try you at receiver? And they don't even see him throw, don't see him catch, don't see him run. And he just walks off the field. He's like, oh, I don't want to be a receiver. It's like, how would anybody know? They've never seen you. We don't know your giftings. We want to get you in, get you evaluated. So for you, if that's where you are, I want you to check this first box. You say, I'm coming. What does that mean? The weekender process at Mercy Hill, this is so important right now for where we are. The weekender process at Mercy Hill is the process by which we kind of initially plug you in. It's not an ironclad for the rest of your life. You're going to be on the production team or whatever. It's like, man, let's get you in. This is how we evaluate. There's not a survey. You're not going to fill something out on the computer. We're going to get you in. We're going to know you. We're going to talk to you. We want your highest and best. Let's get you on the team and let's start figuring it out. That's the I'm coming. If you check I'm coming, what you're saying is, hey, man, I'm going to do everything I can do to come to the Weekender, either in August or September. We're giving you two shots at it. We would love for you to come then. I hope it's a huge influx of people who say, I want to get in. I want to know what my giftings are. I want to operate out of my giftings. Great. Say you're coming. Second one is this. Some of you need to say, I'm jumping back in. What that means is you've come to the Weekender. Life happened. You sort of got out of the game. Maybe it could be that you're out of the game now and you know, I need to get back in. I need to be operating out of my gifts. Maybe you would think to yourself, but where I was serving before, I don't think is really my gifting. I'm not sure my gifts are. Come talk to us. We want that for you. We want you to operate in your gifts as bad as you want to operate in your gifts. Let us try to put you and pair you in a really good weekend ministry, groups ministry, something like that. Let me give you a brutal fact. You ready for a brutal fact? Probably 2,500 people going to come to Mercy Hill, average maybe this month. About 800 people that we can identify serving in some capacity. Okay? Brutal fact. Now, that doesn't mean you're not serving. You might be serving the community. You could be serving, you know, there's probably 400 kids in that number that we're going to give them a pass for right now. Okay, so, you know, there's some, I get it. I'm just trying to make the point. Y'all, there's a lot of room here. There's a lot of room for people to jump back in. I want you to operate out of your giftings as bad as you want to. Okay, so come jump back in. Get back on the team. Third and finally, and I'm done, is this category right here. Ain't nobody stopping me. I love that. And what that means is, man, you're in your gifting. You're operating. You're like, man, I'm doing the thing. I feel like I'm there. Not that I can't grow, not that I can't act, but right now I feel like I'm in my gifting. And if that's you right now, then you know what? I want you to re-up. I want you to just kind of say, like, man, this fall is huge. College Live is kicking off. Our big influx for the school year and all that stuff is about to start. This is the time that I want to re-up. I realize in production team and worship and all these different things in the community, I'm gonna re-up. That's where I'm at. I promise you this, if you talk to my team, they will tell you, I'm committed to preach better than I ever have. I'm committed to be more efficient with my time. All of those things, I wouldn't be signing this paper with you guys if I wasn't re-upping as well, okay? I want to go all in, just like I know many of you do. Man, let's have a spiritual moment. We're going to put these down. They'll give you the instructions of what we're going to do. But listen, at Edgefield and at Clifton, they're doing the same thing right now. As a church, let us commit. God, we want to operate out of our gifting that you might receive glory from it. Let's pray. Father, give us courage. God, we're trying to do a spiritual exercise here. There's no magic in this, but it just gives us a chance to say yes. God, I'm putting my yes on the table. Father, I pray that we'd have all these three categories represented here in measure. God, pour out your spirit, bring conviction. God, let us not undervalue, let us not overvalue our gifts. In Christ's name, amen.